to be back inside the lecture hall. Amen. It's good to be comfortable and to hear the performance of our worship team. They are awesome. Gave them a little bit of a break. Now they're just jumping and ready to rock and roll, so appreciate them. Appreciate our AV team as well. Thank you so much. Today we have Mia, Zan, and Joseph. So thank you guys. Doing a great job as usual. I do have one extra announcement for the men's midweek. It will start at 6:30. Angie and Leland would really need the opportunity to get their kids to put them to bed in a good orderly time. And you know, they get so excited, and the brothers get so excited picking them up and throwing them in the air. And, you know, so they need a little bit more time, so that way Angie has a better opportunity with them the next day. So amen. Let's be great stewards of our time at the Yale residence this Wednesday. Amen. So I appreciate that. If you can share that with your brothers and friends who aren't here to hear that, we will be at the Giao's residence with Ariel Estrado at 6:30 p.m. There's not. Please be careful where you park. They now have neighbors, who actually live there. So please don't block their driveways or things like that. Amen. So with that, good morning, Hafne Guam Christian Church. Thank you. So this month we're going to defer teaching our preaching. Normally we've been preaching from the book of John, but for the month of September, we're going to defer our teaching that until October. And then once again, we'll pick up chapter 21. I know not a great deal of, I know some of you are disappointed in that, but we're going to go ahead and push through anyway. So, for today, last month, after teaching a mini lesson on stewardship multiple times, and then listening to some of the testimonies of people sharing about what's going on in their lives and with their family, and of course, even more recent tragedies, I was moved to share this lesson this morning.
Come on.
Today, we're going to explore stewardship, but from a different angle. Usually, when we hear the word stewardship, we think of how we invest our time, money, our service, and even our ministry. But in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents reminds us that stewardship essentially covers everything. Everything that's been entrusted to us. Everything, not just our resources, not just our opportunities, but our realities as well. And sometimes for many of us here this morning, even now, that reality is not blessings, it's burdens. Instead of prosperity, it's pain. But what do we do when God puts into your hands a season of trial, a period of suffering, a burden you never asked or planned for? What do you do? In Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, Jesus tells the parable of the talents, where the master entrusted resources to his servants. And each one is expected not to compare, not to complain, but to be faithful with what they were given. And the same expectations echoes down to us. The question is, will we be faithful with what God has entrusted to us, even when it comes in the form of pain, loss, or trials? But before we get further into it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, truly grateful that you give us this place where we can worship in peace. The God, that we can lift our hearts to you with whatever we have in it and know that you are there. God, I pray that today's service truly glorifies you and that our lives, as we walk out of here, even state your presence in our lives even more so. God, please be with us today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
My first point, trials are entrusted, not just endured. Trials are entrusted, not just endured. Yeah, I appreciated everyone, first of all, with Zan, and talking about his trials before he really, truly committed himself to the Lord. And then Ra talking about the widow. Those are people, present day and in the past, who fully gave themselves to God. Because they had tried everything else. And they had this opportunity to change, and they did so. You know, in Matthew 25, 14, it tells us, like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. The word entrusted is key. What they had was not random. It was placed in their hands. Brothers and sisters, is it possible that your trial is not just something you're going through, but God has something God has entrusted to you? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We are hard-pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. God gives fragile vessels heavy loads, not to destroy them, but to display his power through them. Your pain is not an accident. It's not something that slipped through God's fingers. He didn't say, oh, shoot. That's what we do, right? It's something he allowed. He measured. And yes, he entrusted to you. We often bury our trials in bitterness, just like a servant buried his one talent in the ground. But family, trials are not meant to be buried. They're meant to be planted in faith. If you bury your pain in anger, it rots. But if you plant it in faith, it grows. It produces endurance, testimony, and even ministry. Could it be, think about this, could it be that your greatest calling won't come from your strengths, but from your scars? My second point, stewarding trials grows endurance and faith. Stewarding trials grows endurance and faith. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, he tells us, consider it pure joy when trials come. Not because trials feel good, but because they produce good. Amen. They can, at least. Amen. Joy in trials sounds strange, right? But James doesn't mean to enjoy the pain. That's sick. He means rejoice in the product of the pain. The endurance, the maturity, the strength. Yeah. You know, Zan and Rob, they both mentioned this. But think about this. Without resistance, muscles never grow. Yeah. Without pressure, diamonds never form. Mm. Without fire, your faith will never shine. Mm-hmm. But let's take a moment here. Because there's a danger that we have to admit to and face. Sometimes when we see someone else's trial, instead of responding with compassion, we respond with impatience or even judgment. Yeah. You might think, why can't they just get over it? Or why are they still struggling? How come they're not like me? How do they get over it? Because they're not you.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, the Word of God speaks differently. Galatians 6:2 tells us, bear one another's burdens, yeah, and so fulfill. Well, that's big. Fulfill the law of Christ. That means part of growing endurance is learning to help others endure.
Yeah.
To lift them up, to pray with them, to walk with them. You know, a lack of compassion doesn't just wound those who are struggling. It also reveals something stunted in our own discipleship, in our own growth.
Wow.
If our trials are truly producing endurance and faith, then that faith should also overflow in gentleness and patience towards others. After all, how many times has God carried us when we were weak?
Right.
So to steward trials well, yes. But don't just think of how we endure our own pain. We must also ask how we can help others endure theirs. That's when the church becomes not just a community of endurance, but a community of healing. And when trials come, because they will, we can say, God, I may not like it, but let it grow me. Let it bring out the best in me. Because the alternative is to bury it in bitterness. And that produces nothing. So tell me, ask yourself, is your trial leaving you bitter? Or better? My third point, our trials can be a ministry or testimony to others. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, Paul reminds us that God comforts us so that we can comfort others. He wants us to comfort others. It's not just about us. You know, the thing you believe, maybe you're going through something right now that's stopping you from doing something you really want to do. And maybe you believe it's blocking you from God's will for you and your life. But maybe that's the very thing that's going to equip you for it. Think about this. In the earlier chapters of Acts, Paul talked to Barnabas and said, you know that John Mark? Man, that guy's a flake. Leave him. I don't want to go with him. And Barnabas said, no, man, we got to bring this guy with us. I said, you know what, tell you what, you go your way, and I'm going to go mine. And they both went about, and they spread the gospel, and they did whatever they had to do. But years later, or maybe it was months later, I don't know, that calendar's not very good in the Acts. But it says, John Mark was now indispensable. He needed that time to grow to become indispensable. He went from being a flake to now being a feature. And maybe that's what you're going through now.
Amen.
Right? Maybe what you're going through is going to equip you to do something powerful for God. Amen. And your testimony may become the lifeline for someone else's storm. You know, Joseph endured betrayal and prison so he could save nations. Job's suffering still teaches us how to cling to God in loss. Paul's storm became a sermon of grace that blesses us even today. So when you steward your pain, you hand God a tool to rescue someone else. Your story is going to give someone else hope.
Amen.
But how will you steward it? You may reach people, if you do it right, if you do it in faith, you may reach people that no preacher, no sermon on the pulpit could ever reach, because your sermon will come from a pit which God pull you out of. The enemy wanted your trial to silence you. God intends to use it to commission you, to anoint you. Don't bury it. Multiply it. Don't waste it. Offer it back to Him. Amen. Well, maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, you know, Ed, I'm not in trial right now. Life's good. Things are stable. I got more than 2 coins in my pocket.
Go ahead.
And if that's you, well, praise God.
Yeah.
But don't be deceived into thinking peace means exemption. Yeah. As I said earlier, reminding you earlier, in John, Jesus himself said in John 16, verse 33, in this world, this one, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You know, I read that as, if you're not going through a trial now, one day you will be. So what do you do in this season? Well, simple. You steward your peace. Build your faith roots while it's calm. Because you can't lay a foundation in the middle of a storm. Were you here for Mawar?
Yeah.
Man, that's one crazy storm. Even stuff that were supposed to measure it could not measure it. It broke everything.
Yeah.
Even the internet. You cannot build anything during Mawar. I hope some of you build your faith. Build your roots while it's calm. Use your strength to serve those who are weary. Store up spiritual oil like the wise virgins in Matthew 25. And so when the midnight cry comes, your lamp is ready. Don't waste your peace. Prepare in it. Share it. Because when your trial comes, and you know it will, you'll be ready to stand firm. And while I'm in the subject of trials becoming our testimony, or part of our testimony, I think we have to address something, a trial that's really facing our nation. Yeah, earlier this week, you probably heard about the heartbreaking and shocking assassination of Charlie Kirk. You know, a man's life was taken. A family is grieving, a young family. A community is hurting. And as a nation, we are left stunned by the violence and hatred among us. Now, it's true that many agreed with Charlie Kirk's politics and many did not. I personally did not know much about his political views, but I did hear him say a lot about his faith and belief in God. So whatever your opinion of him that you may or may not have, you know, this much is certain. Disagreement never justifies violence. No political stance, no ideology, no controversy can make the taking of a human life acceptable. In God's eyes, Charlie Kirk was a man made in his image, and his death is a tragedy. And church, we have to remember, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, this tragedy reminds us that the true enemy is not people. It is Satan and the powers of darkness that thrive on hatred, division, and violence. You know, this is a moment that tests us as a people, as disciples of Jesus. We are called to respond not with rage or division, but with prayer, compassion, and peace. Amen. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Yeah. Be called children of God this morning. Amen. Be called children of God for the rest of your life. Amen. Paul tells us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. You know, this tragedy is an opportunity to embody those words, to prove the light of Christ is stronger than the darkness of hatred. Let us pray for Charlie Kirk's family. Let us pray for our nation and our island. And let us commit to being faithful stewards of this moment, overcoming hatred with love, division with peace, and despair with hope in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
My last point, righteous stewardship is a matter of faith, not fairness. Righteous stewardship is a matter of faith, not fairness. Romans 8:28, Paul reminds us that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. You know, a lot of us get our identity from things that we do. I truly appreciate it. Dan's mentioned, I keep wanting referring to it. Do you get your identity in Christ? He paid an awful big price so that you can have life forever.
Yeah.
You know, some of us struggle though. We struggle not because we doubt God's power, but because we doubt his power in our situation.
Yeah.
We doubt his fairness. But the servants in Matthew 25 didn't all receive the same. One got five, one got two, and one got only one. Life is not equal. Trials, thank God, are not equal. There's only one place where everything will be fair. Yeah, it's hell. Everybody there will be getting what they deserve. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we usually stop there. But if you read on, it also says, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, we deserve punishment, but we receive grace.
Amen.
In the case of faithful servants, the reward was the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, this doubt in God may cause you to look around and think, if I eat this fruit, will I truly die? Wrong story, but same principle. Why did they get 5 talents and I only got 1? Why does she walk in blessing while I walk in burden? Where's the fairness, oh God? The parable of talents shows us the servant wasn't judged for having less. He was judged for doing less with what he had, for being faithless towards the master. God won't be comparing your life with anyone else's except Jesus. He'll be asking, will you be faithful with what I gave you, with what I entrusted you? That means if you're rich now, be faithful with generosity. If you're struggling, be faithful with trust. If you're healthy, be faithful with service. If you're weak, be faithful with perseverance. It's not the size of the trial or the size of the talent. It's the size of your faithfulness that counts. Because in the end, that's what Jesus will be looking for when he comes back. And he will. And it will not be as a baby. And he's going to be asking, where's your faith? It's about how faithful you were. So church, family, and friends, what has God entrusted you with today? Is it a season of hardship? Then steward it with faith. Is it a season of peace? Then steward it with preparation. Don't bury your blessings and don't bury your burdens. Both belong to the Master. Both are opportunities for faithfulness. The only time you have is now. Don't wait till it's more opportune. You don't know what's going to happen. Charlie Kirk did not expect a bullet to pass through his throat. Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. But you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because one day, whether you walk through fire or rested beside still waters, you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Maybe not well known. Maybe not well liked. Maybe not well off, probably. But faithful.
Amen.
Faithful in peace. Faithful in trials. Faithful to the very end. If I may, let me add a challenge for you today. For the brothers. God has entrusted you with a calling to lead with faith. Do not carry your trials in silence and do not waste your season of peace. Steward them well by prayer, by leaning on your brothers in Christ, by leading your families with courage and integrity, by making yourself available for God's plan. To my sisters, God has entrusted you with a strength that shines even through your tears. Your trials are not unnoticed by Him, and your faith in the fire speaks volumes to others. Steward your peace well by using it to encourage another sister who may be struggling today. And together, men and women, brothers and sisters, let us not only steward blessings, but also steward burdens for the glory of God. You see, stewardship is not just about money, time, or talents. It's about trials too. Some burdens are heavy, some seem small, but all are given with a purpose. God is not wasting his time. Stop wasting yours. Let us not bury our trials in despair. Let us invest them in faith, endurance, and testimony. And may we live so that on the day we meet our Master, we too will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's the lesson today. To God be the glory. Thank you.